try to do this shit. I put a team in my fucking back, though. My leg broke. I don't know how the fuck I'm running right now, though. I'll do this shit for Madden. Oh, shit. Darren Sharper. One of the most hardest hitting safeties in the league. But I put the team on my back, dude. Fuck it. You can't stop me. Cross the plane. Touchdown. Greg Jennings. 49-20, man. Fuck with me.
Fuck you, Gumby.
Well, I don't know about you, but I feel fairly energized after that. I mean, how can you not really with Alistair's song Scratch? And that's not my brother Alistair or anybody else called Alistair. It's the name of the band, and they actually spell it slightly weirdly as well. I'm not going to go into the spelling of it, but it's spelled differently to the normal way, at least in Britain. Anyway, so that's a good way to start the episode. Episode 5, following on from episode 4, which was back in January. So we're sort of following our kind of monthly thing. Was it back in January or was it the start of February? I don't remember. Anyway, we're on episode 5 now, and that was a rather grand way of starting the episode, and we're going to continue with the whole grandiose affair, because not only are we on a new episode, and that's always a grand affair, but we've decided to have the ABFM Awards for 2010, and this is a decision that was made last week, which is when I was first going to record this podcast, and then it was suggested by Luke that we should actually celebrate last year, which we never did, so we shall, and that's why we've been pushed back a week, because that gave me an excuse to not do anything. So The awards are coming up in this this episode, as well as our first ever book review from Lucy Hayes. She actually submitted that about half an hour after the last episode was completed, so unfortunately it didn't make it into that one. But it's good, because it makes it into this one, so you know, it's all well and good. Also, we have news coming up as well at some stage. And also the Sprots Report, and what else do we have? Oh yes. No, wait. No, that's about it. That's all I can think of right now, but there is, you know, rest assured there is other stuff coming up. And... well, that's about all I can think of to say for an introduction, so we'll have another song whilst I think of something else to say.
We shall rise with the sun. Spend our time as one. Now there is no sin in anything. It's amazing. I love life. I hope you do too. I love everything, it's all amazing. I feel new, do you feel new? I understand when they say we're born again. Cause I've been born again, I'm born again. And it's amazing, it's the best thing. It's glorious, it's life changing. It's amazing. It's the best thing. It's glorious. It's life changing.
there you go, One Eskimo and their song Amazing, and I feel it was a pretty decent song, although it may be a slightly different, you know, type of style of song to the one that came before that, but that's okay, we'll mix it up. So before I played that song, I was talking about the awards and other stuff that was to come in the show, and it turns out that whilst researching for all of this, we've come up with quite a few different categories for the awards for 2010, and quite a few different shortlists. So I'm just going to actually, we're going to start with the awards right now, and just keep going with it, because I actually have no idea how long this is going to take. So if it takes the entire episode, then, you know, it's rather we start it now than, you know, in half an hour or so. So we'll start it now, and I've actually got, you know, to make this all official and stuff, a little bit of a sound clip that's going to segue us into that to make it all professional and stuff. So here we go, the ABFM 2010 Awards. Now, the astute of you may well have noticed that that's actually just the opening segment from the Scott Pilgrim vs. the World film, and you're right, it is, but I think it's pretty fucking awesome. To me, it's the best bit of that whole film, and you know what, that's a pretty decent way to start an award ceremony. I just hope nobody from Universal's listening and decides to sue us, because that wouldn't be any good, because, well, I don't have any money. Anyway, let's get this going, and the opening category is Film of the Year, and I suppose we would just have to have that because we had the film opening, and you know, so yes, Film of the Year, and we do have a shortlist, and our shortlist is four strong, and these films are Iron Man 2, The Social Network, Unstoppable, Tron Legacy, and Scott Pilgrim vs. the World. Now, this film list was compiled by myself and Luke Wolsey, and that was about it, and unfortunately we have no real film preferences or anything, and we barely watched any films last year, so that's essentially just the films that we watched that we thought were fairly decent. So in an attempt to remain professional, I then went and deferred our shortlist of five to a film knowledgeable professional type person, and she chose as the winner for the ABFM 2010 Film of the Year, Tron Legacy, and giving a reason for why that one was chosen over the other four, it's because the other movies were not as good, so that was well done for Tron Legacy for being better than the other ones that me and Luke saw. Now then, onwards. And this is for the 2010 TV Show of the Year, and our shortlist comprises of Top Gear, Chuck, The Big Bang Theory, and possibly surprisingly, My Big Fat Gypsy Wedding. Or is it just Big Fat Gypsy Weddings? I'm not sure. But there we are, that's the top four for selection, and because I don't really care very much about this and I haven't watched TV in a very long time, I am going to defer to LizMaguireOnline.com to make my choice for me. So stand by and we'll have our winner. And according to Liz Maguire's decision maker, the winner is Chucks. There we go. If you do not like this response, please use your browser's back button or click here to start over. No, I'm content with that, and we'll move on. And I think we'll just to keep things interspersed, we'll just go straight into a song. We'll probably do two awards, then a song, two awards, then a song. We'll see how that runs. So we'll have a song, and this will be by a band called Natalie Portman's Shaved Head, and it's called Slow Motion Tag Team. So have a listen to this, then we'll get back to the ABFM Awards for 2010.
Sisters band, they do Curtis Mayfield covers.
Makes the kids want to dip under their covers.
It's true.
All right, then next up is the trailer of the year. Now, this was something which was open to both films and games, and was essentially just, you know, who had the best announcement trailer for something that was coming up. So it could have been like something that was announced in like January and then released in September, or something that was announced in December and released sometime later this year. But as long as the trailer appeared in 2010, it was considered. And the following trailers are for A Town Called Panic, the trailer for every Oscar-winning movie ever, Fallout New Vegas, and Portal 2. Now, I'm going to do something which we've never done before previous to this, but it's something that I'd like to start trying to do, and it's something called link dumping, where if you are interested in something that we've been talking about, I'll try and, you know, put a link to that item or subject in the description of the show. And for all of these sort of like video things that we talk about today, I'm going to try and provide like a YouTube link for it or whatever. So the trailers, all four of these trailers, there is a YouTube link pointing towards that specific trailer. So if you want to go and have a look at any of these, then it'll be link dumped along with the when the episode gets uploaded. So having said that, the winner for trailer of the year goes to the trailer for every Oscar winning movie ever. And Luke says, this is because the trailer managed to gain my interest without spoiling the ending. But I mean, those were all very good trailers, and if you watch that one, you'll see just why that is such an amazing movie trailer. So go have a look at that. Now then, Game of the Year. Now this is a very important one to a lot of people within the Beetlevale group, Beetlevale community. And so the shortlist is for 2010, Fallout New Vegas, Mass Effect 2, Limbo, and Halo Reach. Now, I'm sure none of you will be surprised whatsoever. Those who know us, that, you know, to learn, Halo Reach obviously wins this one, because that's pretty much all we spend our time doing. When I'm not making ABFM episodes or doing work or something, we're all off playing Halo Reach. And if you want an official reason why, it's because Halo Reach has just generally got the best all-round gaming package, even if the campaign was slightly disappointing. I mean, hell, why wouldn't you want to play a game where you can go into a game mode where you can make artificial penises or, you know, other interesting things like that. Anyway.
I'm walking past your house, but I'm never gonna stop there. Look at my clock and think how you love talking cats. Never sound that I hear from your mouth is so deliberate. So maybe I can, but maybe you will know. Never nice at all, but we can work it out. Always sexy how you chew that straw, especially when you wear.
Sleep.
Okay, so that was Discovery and his curiously titled Orange Shirt. Anyway, back to the ABFM 2010 Awards. Now then, our next category is Best Advert of 2010, and this was limited to just video adverts, and all of them can be found at the link dump in YouTube. And 1 through 7, they go: The History of Celebration for Coca-Cola, The Man That Your Man Could Smell Like for Old Spice, The Specs Effect from Specsavers, There's a Soldier in All of Us for Call of Duty Black Ops, Adam and Jane Get Pregnant, which is the ongoing saga of Adam and Jane for BT, Social Networking by Foster's, and Kevin Bacon Fan by Logitech. There's some pretty good ones in there, and some from over in America and some from in the UK, and all of them fairly humorous. But there can only be one winner, and I think fairly obviously the winner is...
Hello ladies, look at your man.
Yeah, that's right. Old Spice walks away with pretty much 100% of the votes. And, I mean, this year was a fairly good year for adverts. I mean, our list is a pretty good list. There's not a bad one in there, and there were many more that we actually dropped from the list. And yet still, just unequivocally, it was just Old Spice guy. I mean, initially, because it was so early in the year, well, much earlier in the year than some of the more recent ones, obviously, it wasn't the first thing we thought of, because we didn't even realize it was last year, and then as soon as we remembered that it was from 2010, boom, that was it. I mean, it was just literally just thinking of some other ones that were maybe good enough, but there was nothing. That was it. Old Spice guy just all the way. In fact, I just said to Luke, oh, hey, do you remember the Old Spice guy? And he said, yeah, he's won. Luke loves Old Spice guy very, very much. So, the next award is... The Best Soundtrack / Score. Now, this was slightly confusing to a couple of people, because the independent score is different to the soundtrack of a film or a game, and includes both the independent music that's used in the film, i.e. the soundtrack, and also the original music that was composed for the film or the game, i.e. the score. So, essentially, we're awarding this to whoever had the best of both worlds, or possibly a really exceptional one or the other. So... our nominations, and these for Best Soundtrack and Score are Scott Pilgrim vs. the World, and, you know, big respect to that film for going for the whole 8-bit thing. You know, we're huge champions of 8-bit here at ABFM, and so, you know, this is a fantastic film with a fantastic soundtrack. Halo Reach, which is with Marty O'Donnell, has always been a visionary of, you know, music within gaming. Tron Legacy, which was absolutely fantastic, and The Social Network, which was unexpected to say the least. And, you know, this one, it was a slightly trickier award to give away, because there was all four of those items are very, very strong contenders, and all four of them had very different reasons for winning it. But when it came down to it, it was, again, all three of us who were on the voting committee, myself and Luke and the other unnamed person, we ended up going with The Social Network, because, well, in Luke's words, apparently it has Radiohead, and I like that. And I like Trent Reznor. It beats Scott Pilgrim narrowly. So there you go. It's got The Social Network wind, with Scott Pilgrim coming in a close second there. So well done to The Social Network. Oh, 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 oh.
The weekend, let's leave the town behind, chase the western wind.
Come On Gang and their song Wheels, which is a fairly nice song. In fact, they have two songs that I was considering, both Wheels and Coffee Shop, and both of them are really nice songs actually, and it took me forever to choose one, and Wheels it is. So we'll continue with our awards then, because that's what's been going on for the past half hour, and we might as well finish what we started. The next category is the website that isn't beetlevale.co.uk, or rather the best website that isn't beetlevale.co.uk of 2010. And we have four contenders: Failblog, which all these can be found in the link dump, Failblog, the BBC website, XKCD, and Twitter. And this one was a very, very quick decision was reached. XKCD wins, which is, for those of you who don't know, it's very sarcastic, very mathematically, scientifically inclined webcomic, and it's actually pretty good, so, you know, definitely go and check those guys out. Congratulations to XKCD. And up next is the Book of the Year, Book of 2010, and we turn to our book correspondent, or book reviewer, Lucy Hayes, to choose us the best book of 2010, and she gave us a short list of Room by Emma Donoghue, The Elegance of the Hedgehog, Muriel Barbary, and Pop Co. by Scarlett Thomas. Wolsey then jumped in and said, well, I also quite liked A Week in December by Sebastian Faulks and also The Fry Chronicles by Stephen Fry. So we ended up with a choice of five there. And Lucy ended up choosing Pop Co. to win Book of the Year 2010. So there you go. That's a very elegant method of managing to get into our new feature, which is the literary review, and that is by Miss Lucy Hayes. And coincidentally, it turns out that even that the winner of the 2010 Book of the Year, Pop Co., is also the first book to be reviewed by Lucy Hayes. So let's do that. Oh, and hey, who remembers way back in season one when we first started doing all this? We had that thing going on where Microsoft Sam was giving us the rules of the internet and all that stuff. Well, I'm feeling kind of nostalgic, and I'm getting kind of bored of my own voice at the same time. So, for the book reviews, until we can figure out a way for somebody else to start doing things, like, say, Lucy, to start actually giving the vocal book review, we'll use a program that I just found whilst browsing the internet. And it's a slightly better quality audio version of Microsoft Sam, and it's, you know, and it's a female girl. It's not called Lucy, unfortunately. It's called Elizabeth. We've got Elizabeth interpreting our first literary review by Lucy Hayes for Pop Co. Here we go.
For the first literary review, I thought it would be apt to talk about the 2010 ABFM winner, Pop Company by Scarlett Thomas. Pop Company is about a girl who works for a multinational toy corporation, designing children's spy kits, think ring decoders, and invisible ink. One day she receives a strange coded message and things start to get weirder and weirder. From the blurb, I wasn't really sure about the book. I loved the end of Mr. Why, which is by the same author, and that's the main reason I decided to read Pop Company, plus the pretty blue pages. I like the pretty. In the end, I actually preferred it to the end of Mr. Why. The end of Mr. Why went a bit over my head sometimes, and took ages for me to get into, but only a little bit of the maths went over my head in Pop Company, and that didn't really matter. Pop Company had a lot of topics which I have never really been interested in, such as alternative medicine and veganism. It actually made me wonder about them. I suppose it's a good thing, if a book can get you thinking about something you wouldn't have otherwise. I like books that make me think best anyway. They're always the ones that stay with me. The main topic, though, was about capitalism, which I can't say is really something I've thought about either. It put a great slant on things like the might of the corporations, and how things can be so skew-if. Things like the marketing of a product being worth more than the product itself. If you can get your hands on it, read it.
My Dear Disco, and White Lies. More awards? Yeah, that seems like a pretty good idea. So, following on from the literary review, which I think is fairly successful, you know, it's only been 3 minutes, but I think it's pretty successful. We now come to the Best Car of 2010. Now, this shortlist was provided to us by Conker, and not only did he give us these four different items or makes or brands or vehicles, he's also given us a little description as to why it's been chosen. So the four are the Daimler Super 8 for its exclusivity. Only two were sold in the UK in 2010. It looks like a Jag though. Number two, the Infiniti G convertible for the what the fuck is that factor. Number three, the 2010 Hummer H3 for its ridiculousness. So useless and huge, it only sold four all year. But that makes it kind of cool, and Arnie used to have one. And the 2010 Fiat Multipla. It's ugly, and it's slow, and it's badly made, and it's Italian, but it will carry seven people. So, there's our four cars, and we're actually going to defer the choice to someone else who I know, who is a motoring, well, I wouldn't say aficionado, but someone who knows stuff about cars and kind of likes things that move. That'll be Chris, and Chris's choice for car of the year is the Fiat Multipla. How about that? That's actually Conk's choice, but, you know, that's cool. Now then, that leaves us with the Mindfuck of 2010. Now, this is just anything at all which you either looked at, saw, heard, or, you know, basically anything that made you go, the fuck? Just completely messed your head up. And the shortlist comprises of A Town Called Panic, which was a film that has already been nominated for Trailer of the Year for the ABFM 2010. The film Inception, Paul the Octopus from the World Cup, and I left that running just long enough to become annoying, really. So yeah, the Vuvuzela is also in there, and I actually kind of thought that was pretty funny. So anyway, Mindfuck of 2010. Since there's nobody else around anymore helping me out, I'm now the sole guy choosing these things, and I actually thought A Town Called Panic was just completely, utterly nuts. I've not even seen the film, just the trailer, but I've seen some extended bits from the film, and it just doesn't make any sense whatsoever. It's the sort of thing which I wish I could come up with. It's just so gloriously messed up. So there you go, 2010 Mindfuck of the Year is the Belgian animator's crazy, trippy ride. A Town Called Panic. Go check that film out. Come in, my youth. Let me match this one, Yamba.
I'm wearing her pajamas. I ride up hot potato. It's tickling my fancy. Speak up now, I can't hear you. Like it, oh.
Soul's cover of Wild Wild Life isn't any form of way to bring us into the final and greatest award of today, then I'm not really sure what is. Well, I'm sure if I thought about it, I would know what it was, but I'm not going to think about it because that was pretty fucking awesome anyway. Anyway, the most prestigious award of 2010 is the best song played on ABFM in 2010. Now, that left us with 5 episodes, I believe, to choose from, and it seems most of the episodes were lifted from the ABFM in Limbo. That's the episode where most people thought the best songs were on, is what I mean to say. And our shortlist for this prestigious award is Whiskey by the Hee Ha Hoo Ha's, and Ricardo Autobahn's The Golden Age of Video, Birds of Wales with Cinderella Has Nothing on You, My Thoughts by Emmy, and the Ballad of Barry Allen by Jim's Big Ego. Now, this was one which actually caused the most debate alongside Film of the Year, mostly because everyone's who was talking about its music taste was completely different. However, it turned out in the end, one song got 2 votes, which was more than any of the other songs. Well, there was actually more songs considered as well as the final 5, but one song got more votes than the other ones. And to be honest, to me it was a surprise. You may feel that it isn't a surprise and that this truly deserves it. I personally feel I would have chosen something else, but you know what? It's still a pretty good song, and it's a very unlikely song. And I think we're going to have to play it again just because, you know, it's the winner. So it gets the prestigious title of becoming the first song to be played twice on ABFM. And as Luke says, well, as the reason for it winning, it reminds me of the Cuban Boys. I don't know if that's a reason to play it or not, but here you go anyway.
Slippery feet.
Suicide'll be nice and neat.
I didn't build the Panama Canal.
Open the pod bay doors, please, Al.
These aren't the droids you're looking for.
These aren't the droids we're looking for.
I am not a number. I am a free man.
To the idiot mobile.
Right away, Michael.
I will not be pushed, filed, stamped, index leafed, deep or numbered.
We came, we saw, we kicked it down.
You don't understand. I could have had class.
Round and twisty on A-Bank.
Everybody in television.
You must
Beshrew me.
Wait for me, Moomin.
Just like to meet the host of that show, Meat Boy.
I want to go to there.
We came, saw, we kicked it down.
Royal tycoon, like a little mustache.
Nice beaver.
I just had a touch.
Well, I don't give a shit, close enough.
Where's me, Moose Boy?
Don't hit me, cunt.
You're gonna need a bigger boat.
What'd you say?
I think she bought it.
Suck it, monkeys. I'm going horse.
Monster drive.
A drive?
The fight is alive.
Serve your law. No alpha.
Pick those French fries, yum, yum, yum.
Bueller. Bueller, Bueller.
It's 2 degrees cold.
A light that burns twice as bright burns half as long.
6 words the whole song.
Big stuff, the one of us. Big stuff, the one of us.
Booba gobble, booba gobble.
We accept it, we accept it.
You are number 6.
4 of 3.
Ricardo Montalban and the Golden Age of Music. Well, as I look up at the timeline bar thing that's at the top of Cubase here, it tells me that I am currently at 54 minutes and 25 seconds of talking. So I think we can get the news and the sports done out the way and then probably finish off with our final song, which is, well, by process of elimination, going to be an 8-bit song. And saying that makes me think maybe we should have had a special 8-bit category since we love it so much. Well, maybe next year. Anyway, the news, which this week is brought to us by ATN Bangla, a news channel from Bangladesh, if you didn't figure that out. So in Iceland, the current most interesting news is actually not that interesting. The current Icelandic president has rejected for the third time in a row the plan to repay the Icesave debt. That is the bill that was left over when the Iceland bank Icesave collapsed. He has now rejected it enough that it needs to go to a public referendum, which people are very divided about because some people just don't care, some people think that they shouldn't have to pay for it, and other people think other things. The president himself says that the bill to clear the debt is currently much better than previous versions, the two that he's already vetoed, but that it's his responsibility to allow the public to make the vote on whether it should be passed or not. The president said that he decided to send the bill to a public vote because only a small majority of parliamentarians voted against the idea, whereas a large proportion of voters signed the petition calling for a referendum. He said further that the Icesave issue is much simpler than Iceland's European Union accession, but everybody agrees that that will go to a public vote. The public should be trusted and listened to, he reasons. So this is essentially sounding like the first president who's ever, or prime minister or president, or someone in charge who's ever actually felt that the public would do something in their own best interest. That's pretty cool. In tech news, Microsoft has announced that in the coming year they're going to start releasing a commercial version of the Xbox Kinect. Essentially, this is a version where all of the technology is going to be free and open source so that people can do what they want with the technology contained inside the Kinect. Up until now, the resources available to people has only been accessible through hacking the system, which is a big no-no and generally frowned upon by people, you know, in legal circles. However, with the release of the new version, people are going to be able to go into the gadget or the console or whatever that thing is, and they'll be able to use it to whichever, you know, method they see best. In space news, we're only a few days away from the launch of Discovery's final mission, which is scheduled to depart at 9:50 in English GMT time and at 4:50 p.m. Eastern time, which is, I think, pretty much the entire listener audience's, that covers both the times that everybody's listening to. So that's the 24th of February is when that's going up. You should definitely tune into NASA.gov if you want to watch that, because that's going to be pretty awesome. We've already had some entertainment news. In fact, the entertainment news would be, well, the ABFM Awards for 2010 have just occurred, and, you know, you just heard them, so you don't need to hear that. Other news would be possibly that you might want to check beetlevale.co.uk if you didn't get that subtle hint last episode. Well, we now have our own website, although it's still very much being built and doesn't really do much. It's there and we're very proud of it, so definitely go and check beetlevale.co.uk. And as always, don't forget, we do have our bicycle trip coming up in August, so if you've still not checked it out, go and have a look at the ABFM Facebook group for UK Cycle, because the Beetlevale guys are going to be doing a charity bike ride to raise money for cancer and also, you know, so you can laugh at us. So yeah, go have a look at that, give money if you've not, give money if you have, and I think that about covers the news. Radio Spectacular and You Light Me Up takes us beyond the hour mark. Thank you for Conker for picking his pick of the week, which was that song. That was a very bad structured sentence, and that was some poor grammar as well. Let's just move on from that. Well, I suppose we could do the sports, but we're kind of going over an hour here, aren't we? And there's going to be another song. And now we'll just do one more regular feature, and that'll be an 8-bit song. So to take us out, here is a bloke called Neil Voss and his song, End If. Do love a bit of 8-bit.
Thank you. And he just bounces all over the place like the goddamn asshole's wearing moon shoes. Moon shoes. Moon shoes. The fucking anti-gravity shoes.
Dennis.
Congratulations. Where's my fucking cookie?